You remember my topics last many years. I began with John's epistles. It's interesting. Warren Wiersbe began his commentary writing, B series with John's epistles. John MacArthur started his Bible studies with John's epistles. I'm not going to be a John MacArthur or Warren Wiersbe, but interesting, many a times I think I began with John's epistles, and these great men also began with John's epistles. Then I think I took on, I don't remember the sequence, but I took on Moses and also from book of Joshua and on spiritual warfare and so on. Now this time I would like to take a very simple portion, not very, a very hard subject, very simple. Rajan doesn't want to announce that. It's about prayer. Not prayer as a topic, but Paul and prayer. We often hear, Paul's prayers, but in this study we are going to consider not only Paul's prayers, even before we go into the prayers of Apostle Paul, we will consider in a general manner certain lessons based on Paul's prayer life. When we go through the prayers of Apostle Paul, there are so many things to consider. We will have time in the coming days, God willing. Because all those prayers are telling us what we should pray for ourselves, what we should pray for others, and what is God's plan for our life. And so many spiritual lessons are there. So we will begin with, we shall consider lessons based on Paul's prayer. Now, even before that, as an introduction, I think one thing about prayer is very interesting, even my own life. We like to hear about prayer. We like to speak about prayer. We like to teach and preach about prayer. We like to, tell about prayer, everything. But the problem is when it comes to practical life of prayer, somehow, I don't know about you, when I think about myself, somehow I can only say I couldn't pray as I ought to pray. I don't know about your life. But many God servants, they have observed it. We like prayer. And we speak about it, preach about it, teach about it. We do everything about prayer. We read about it. But in coming to personal life, we pray very little. What's the reason? My conviction, my realization is, the main, many reasons are there. There could be many reasons, but the main reason is, because prayer is so essential for a Christian, because God does everything on the basis of prayer. And this is something our brother Matthew Paul always insisting. God doesn't do anything without the prayers of the saints. Have you heard about that? He used to say that. He emphasizing it. He used to emphasize it. God will never do anything against without the prayers of God's people. So God works on the basis of the prayers of the saints. When saints pray, something happens. So naturally, the enemy will try the best to stop saints from prayer. Now, we cannot blame Satan and escape. But the reality, somehow, we know that we need to pray. We know all those things about prayer. But when it comes to practical, personal life, some kinds of hindrance, something is, stopping us, something hindering us. So that's why, maybe that's why we see in the book of Colossians, no need to go now, Colossians chapter 4 verse 12, Apostle Paul speaks about the prayers of Epaphras. Now what is the reference there? What is the verse there? He says that Epaphras always laboring fervently for you in prayer. Prayer is a labor. Why? It's a labor. Labor means pragnum. It's an effort. Prayer is an effort. There are so many spiritual exercises that are relatively easy. You can sing. I don't say singing is easy, preaching also relatively easy, but prayer is much more harder than anything. That's why Epaphras, about the prayer of Epaphras, Paul says, he always laboring, striving in prayer. So that's why we need to make extra effort to pray, not only to study about prayer, and even in our practical life. Okay. Now we are going to consider, as I told you in the beginning, we shall see some lessons from Paul's prayer life. Okay. But then, if God willing, we shall see the contents or the prayer points of Apostle Paul. So many things are there that we will consider for many weeks as the Lord helps us. And then we shall see, we will also see briefly his own prayer request. And finally, his teachings on prayer, his exhortations on prayer. Now tonight, I just want to say very few things. I have noticed some 13 or 14 things, of course. But I won't take everything today. A few things, Uncle Remai told me that by 25 it would be better if you could stop. So today I think I should stop by even before that. Because you should not feel that I'll take, because many times I take a lot of time. I know I'm not able to. Many times I take much time, so today I think I shall take only limited time, not beyond the limit of time. The first thing about Paul's prayer we can notice from Acts 9, is in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, verse 11. I don't think it's very, you know, deep things for you. We know it very well, but we will still we will see those references. And try to pick up those points. See, one thing there we see, the Lord says to Ananias. He says, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Now we see that actually, I don't think that is the first time he's praying. There is no word prayer mentioned there in chapter 9 verse 5 at the very moment of his conversion. I think that's the first prayer of Apostle Paul. Is it not right? Acts chapter 9 verse, is it 5? Not 5? Which verse it is? Yeah, 5. Yes, correct. Yeah, 5. Who are you, O Lord? Then, in the next sentence, verse 6, it is, what do you want me to do? It's a prayer, no? So, Paul, the point or the lesson that I want to present before you or make here, it is, Paul's prayer life began soon after conversion. It's not right. As along with his conversion experience, from the very moment of his born again experience, Paul began to, a very simple lesson, but still, that shows prayer is what? An evidence of conversion. If we have a personal experience with the Lord, if we have had a true born-again experience, that will be reflected in our prayer life. Prayer is very much, somebody said, prayer is the breath of a regenerate man and shows him to be alive. Prayer is the breath of a regenerate man and shows him to be alive. Just imagine till that moment of Paul's conversion or Saul's conversion, what was coming from his mouth? What was coming from his life? He was breathing terror, anger, terror, destruction, But now, praise to the Lord quietly, humbly, saying, Lord, who are you? What shall I do? So prayer is an evidence of his conversion, or his prayer life began with conversion. That is the first thing we can notice there. And secondly, now we have to consider a few verses, you know. We shall see, I will try to observe the lesson from there. You see, Acts 9:5, I told you already. Now you come to chapter 22, verse 17. Actually, Apostle Paul's testimony is there. He reminds the day of his conversion there, or time of his conversion there. 22:17, we read there, from Damascus he goes to Jerusalem, and there, we read there, he was praying He says, I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. Okay, let's read a few more verses. Chapter 16, verse 25. There we see Apostle Paul and Silas. They are in jail. Now what does he do there? What is he doing there? Acts 16, verse 25. No need to read the whole verse. We read, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. Okay. 20 verse 36. So he prayed in jail. 20 verse 36 we read. Another occasion, he is meeting the elders of the Ephesian assembly. It seems on the port, on the shore. He talks to them in detail, so many things. He says that you will not see me again anymore. Then we read there in 20 verse 36, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Again in 21:5. There also we see the same, not the same occasion, but similar occasion. We end of verse 5, we knelt down on the shore and prayed. One more verse. 28 verse 8 we read, it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed. Now what is the point there? Now I give you opportunity. We are studying together. I'm not teaching you, we are going to study together. So remember this, in the coming days also, think about the prayers of Apostle Paul. Go through all the references where Paul refers to prayer, or Paul is praying, and so on. Let us study together. Tell me, what is the lesson we can observe from these verses? Now we have seen Acts 9:5, 22:17, 16:25, 20:36, 21:5, 28:8, and so on. Paul prayed in jail, in temple, in a house of an unbeliever, on the beach, on the shore. So what is the point there, symbol? No, that's the first point, no? Any place. Paul prayed anywhere, everywhere, at any occasion. For Paul, prayer was very much natural. Again, I don't know about you, but many a times we have a kind of hesitation to pray in the public. Now just imagine you go to the airport to send somebody off to maybe somewhere. In the airport, just before leaving, we may give a shake hand, we may even a hug also, but we have a kind of little bit hesitation to pray before we leave that brother or sister. Once again, keeping our hands on the shoulder, saying, we commit this brother or sister in the hands of the Lord and pray. I don't know. Do you pray? Now, we may have a hesitation to pray, but Paul, he will pray anywhere. whether it is a temple, on the roadside, on the shore, or anywhere, if he wants to pray, he is praying. It's very natural. There is no particular time for his prayer. Of course it is there, I'll come there. There's no doubt it is there. But again, for Paul, he prayed everywhere, anywhere. It was not at all a burden for him. There was no shame for him to pray to God. And it was not simply fulfilling an obligation. And he was praying spontaneously. And such should be our prayer. Prayer should be everywhere, anywhere, at any occasion. Okay, let's go fast. Number three. The third lesson that we can learn from. Again, we shall see some references. Then only we can, you know, observe it properly. Romans 1:9. Only three passages where Paul speaks about his prayer. Romans 1:9-10. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Notice that? Making request if... Okay. Ephesians 1:16. These are Paul's prayer passages that we will have to come again. But just I want to emphasize one point there, one idea there, 1:16. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in my... Now here again, what is the lesson? What is in those three verse passages, you know, what is the common, which is that common word you have noticed?
Without ceasing.
Without ceasing, correct. Without ceasing, okay. Okay, so Paul, in all in the other prayer passages also, Paul writes that, I pray for you always. That's not my topic, point. My point ending is something different. Paul prayed without ceasing. Even earlier I told you, Paul prayed spontaneously. Any time he prayed. But still, now when you go through these other passages also, Paul prayed for Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians and Ephesians, not simply saying, Lord, I pray for the Ephesians. He prayed for them one by one. He took up the needs of each and every local assembly, local church. So I believe, it's not written there, I believe, for Paul to remember all the assemblies, Paul to remember all the saints, believers, one by one, name by name, and he says, I pray for you always. It's not just an exaggeration. It's true. He prayed. In order to pray in such a manner, there should be a systematic, a planned prayer life for Apostle Paul. Is it not right? It's not that, I'll pray occasionally, I'll pray whenever I... See, that doesn't take place. We know it. Practically, it will never take place. We know about whether it is about exercise, whether it is about Bible study, whether it is about our own personal devotion, whatever it is. If you have a fixed time for a particular thing, you should do. If you don't have a fixed time for anything, somebody said, you know, a plan to fail is a failed plan, something like that. You know, about management, you know, he said, if you have no plan, you will reach nowhere. When we have a plan, we go somewhere. We know that I haven't reached because I have a plan. If we have no plan, we will never know whether we have reached or not. Similarly, for prayer, if you have a set time, this is the time for my prayer. Even if I fail, I will know, yeah, I failed, it was the time to pray. So there's no doubt, I personally believe, Paul had the third thing. He had a planned prayer life. Or he had a set time for prayer. He had a set time for prayer. That's why he could, without failure, he could remember each and every needs of the assemblies, believers, name by name. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had a prayer, such a prayer life. We read that in many passages in the gospel. Luke's gospel 16:5 we read, and many other passages. The Lord Jesus used to go to the mountain to pray. Sometimes during the night and many times early in the morning. And we read he had a very systematic time of prayer or prayer life the Lord Jesus Christ had, and Apostle Paul also. So he was a man who used to pray regularly in a systematic manner, in a planned manner. So that is three. Number four. Again, in the same verses. No, we don't need to go back to those verses. Now one more thing we read there. You also observed it rightly, without ceasing, he remembered them or he referred to them, each one by one. I told you already that. And he prayed for them, you know, to Romans he says, without ceasing, always in my prayer. In 1 Corinthians 1:4 also he will say, I thank my God always. Ephesians 1:16 we read, do not cease to pray. 1 Thessalonians again we read, always. So Paul prayed for, it's not that Paul prayed for Romans or Corinthians once in a while and just, you know, stop praying. He prayed without ceasing, always. In other words, persistently. Now, see, the Lord Jesus also taught in, I think in Luke's Gospel 18, men should pray always. Then he gave an example, no, a parable also there, story there. So our prayer, Paul's prayer was persistent prayer. Now, what is persistent prayer means? Keep on asking. Now, in that parable it is there, the Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 18, we need to pray always, repeatedly, again and again. What is the reason why Paul prayed like that? You know, we know that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Apostle Paul himself says, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12, no need to read, go there. Continue, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Believers, prayer must be persistent. The Lord says, Paul prayed persistently. Now, what is the reason why Paul prayed persistently? What made Paul to pray without ceasing? Now, we have a prayer point, whatever it is. We are praying for certain things, whatever it is. Your personal matter, assembly matter, believers, whatever it is. Now, we are supposed to pray not only once or twice or thrice, then we have to pray till we get an answer. That is persistent prayer. Repeatedly, again and again and again, praying. That is the way Paul prayed. Now, what is the reason why Paul prayed like that? Or what shall make Paul, or what made Apostle Paul to pray persistently, consistently, continuously? What made? It's very hard for you. Or you also have decided not to answer in between. I don't know. There are certain many students. It's Bible study. I'm teaching you. You're supposed to answer. Teachers are there, no? Now, what could be the reason why Paul prayed persistently? Or what should force us to pray persistently? We are praying for certain things. No answer. Of course, okay, concern of the believers. Take care, okay. Clear guidance. Clear guidance that God is going to do. Yeah. Means he is very sure that God is going to work. Is it right? I think that is the, of course, concern is there. No doubt about that. We'll come there, maybe. But I think the most important reason is Paul believed the power of prayer. Paul believed God will do. Paul believed that prayer works. You know, there is another story. You know that story, I think, in Acts 12. Believers, they were praying for the deliverance of Peter. And the Lord delivered. And in between, during the prayer time, he comes and knocks the door. No? And one girl says, Peter uncle has come. And the believers are praying for his deliverance, saying, he cannot be. You are saying something wrong. They couldn't believe. Now, we don't underestimate their faith or conviction. But at the same time, even when we pray, I don't know how much do we really believe that for whatever thing we are praying for, God will accomplish. God will fulfill. Paul prayed persistently. Paul was encouraged to pray again and again because he believed that God will work. Prayer works. Now you know that verse in maybe just see Philippians 1:19. Apostle Paul writing to Philippians 1:19 when he is in the jail. Then he writes there Philippians 1:19. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. I know when you are praying for me, God will deliver me. I know, I'm sure, through your prayer. So he is happy. He says, I rejoice even in my jail. I know your prayer will work. In Ephesians 3:19, very much well-known verse it is, he says about our God who, Ephesians 3:19, not 19 actually, 20, who is able to do, our God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Our God is a great God. Our Lord is a prayer answering God. God works when we pray. We must believe that. And I believe, I think, I'm sure, I am very much sure that not simply to believe in our mind, I should declare it. And I should declare it in such a way, glory to God, glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive, who works. Glory to him in such a manner. We should declare. Why? That's another topic. Let the world know that our God is a great God. He does mighty things. So Apostle Paul, he believed the power of prayer. That's why he prayed consistently or persistently without any failure. You know, in Matthew's Gospel 7, you know that verse, Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, the Lord Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will be find, you will find, knock and it will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Then he says, everyone who asks receives, seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. To believe that. We have to. To believe that, trust and believe the power of prayer. Okay. Now, number five. Fifth. Now, once again, let's go to those passages, some of the passages of prayer. Romans 1:10. Once again. Now, don't worry. We shall see those verses more, later on. Romans 1:10, making request if by some means, now at least I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Just see for another one more verse. These are only examples I'm taking to pick up some idea from there. 2 Corinthians 13:7. 2 Corinthians 13:7. We read there, now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. Now Ephesians 1, you know, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. What was the topic there? What was the intention or prayer? He says in Ephesians 1:16-17. No need to read the whole passage. Do not cease to pray. Verse 17. God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you to the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, what I want to say is, when you go through all these prayers of Apostle Paul, another observation, another thing that we can notice is, his prayers were specific prayers. He prayed, see, when you go to the Romans, there his prayer has a purpose. He's praying for, there his main topic is his visit to Rome. He wants to visit Rome. That's what he's praying there. He says, I pray that I may be able to come to you. And to Corinthians he says, I pray that you may do no evil. And Ephesians also. So when you go through, only examples I have taken. When you go through all the prayers of Apostle Paul, he doesn't say, I pray for the believers in Ephesus, God may bless you. I pray that God may bless the believers in Philippi. No, that is not the way he prayed. He prayed specifically for specific needs for each and every one. His prayers were specific prayers. Whether he is thanking God for them or praying for them. Now, what kind of, many a times, how do we pray? How do we pray? We pray for our assembly, all the believers, God bless our believers. No, I don't know how you pray, but generally, I understand. Now, we take a shortcut, you know. Now come to the reason why Paul prayed specifically for their needs. What is the reason? Now, what does it show? Because that shows, that's what he said earlier, his concern for each and everyone. He knows the condition of believers in Ephesus. He knows the need of the Ephesian believers. He knows the need of the believers in Corinth. He knows the needs of the believers in Thessalonica. So he is concerned. He knows their need and he is concerned about them. So he prayed for them very specifically. Now what kind of prayer we have? So true prayer is actually praying specifically, not in a general manner. So I told you 5 things. Of course, our time is there. I'm just looking to the time. Okay, what are those 5 things? Very quickly, who will help me? Number 1, Paul's prayer. Very good. Prayer life began soon after his conversion. That shows prayer is evidence of conversion. Number 2, he prayed everywhere, anywhere, at any occasion. It was very natural for him. Prayer is very natural for him. And number 3, he had a planned prayer life. Planned prayer life. Or he has a systematic time of prayer. Now that we learn from even the Lord Jesus, I told you, he used to go every early morning, he used to go, or night. It's a very specific or systematic time of prayer. And number 5 is, he was specific in his prayers. Now we have time for one more topic or point. You see, this is the main thing about Apostle Paul's prayers. Now I told you 5 things. You have heard it. But more than that, when you go through all the prayers of Apostle Paul, we understand the sixth one, his emphasis in prayer was intercession. You see, where do we see Paul prayed for himself? Tell me. Nowhere? Only once. Apart from that, you know, Acts 9, Lord, who are you? What shall I do? Apart from that, once more we see, in my memory also, once more. Where do we see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 onwards. He prayed, Lord, this thorn in my flesh, remove it. Lord said, I am not going to remove. My grace is sufficient for you. Otherwise, always his prayers are for others. Others only. Now there are many, I don't need to go through all those verses. We will have time if God willing. So he prayed for others. Again, what is the reason? Just as I told you earlier, he had a concern for God's people. He prayed for others. His emphasis in all his prayers. No doubt he prayed for himself, no doubt about it. But we don't read that. He prayed for himself, no doubt about it. But he always prayed more for the needs of others. Intercessory prayers. And one more thing we should remember along with that. Not only he prayed for others, he made sure, let them know, I pray for them. See, that's why in every letter, he begins with, I remember you in my prayers, and I give thanks to God for you, and I pray for you for these and these things. That means, he wanted them to know, he is praying for them. Now, I don't know about you again. You may be much more godly and spiritual. You see, you get a message in WhatsApp message. Oh, so and so is serious praying. And immediately we write, praying. Or, 1, 2, 3, this, you know, see, symbols you sent. But do we pray? At least for a moment, Lord, I pray for this brother in the hospital. I am praying. Okay, praying. Now, so okay, very good, we say. But actually he prayed. And he prayed for others. Intercession was his concern. He gave importance to prayers for others. Now, what I was saying is, he made sure, let them know, I pray for you. Now, there is an interesting, there is a reason for that. I don't know. How you take it, some years ago, I happened to meet one of my teachers in Kerala. Of course, I should say, no problem to say the name, Angad OMS. After so many years, I met him. I had no idea that even he is remembering me. And he said, you are one of my students for whom I pray daily. Really challenged me. Uncle Oymas, he told me, I pray for you daily. It gave me a kind of strength and encouragement. See, when we know that somebody is praying for us, and when they say, brother, I pray for you, there is a kind of encouragement. There is a kind of satisfaction or a kind of, a strength in our being. Apostle Paul, so he writes in all that, most of the letters, I pray for you. So he prayed for others and he made it a point to make it known. And I pray for you and I pray for so such and such matters. Now, do we pray for others? How much time do we pray for others? And what are the topics which we are praying? Can we say to anybody, brother, I am praying for you. Brother, I am praying for you for such and such things. See, in the book of Job 42, we know that verse. In Job, you know. In Job chapter 42. Now, story of Job teaches us that the importance of intercessory prayer. When we pray for others, God will work for them. That is one thing. But here in Job 42 verse 10, we read that the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. When Job prayed for his friends, what happened? What happened? The Lord answered the prayers and of Job, or removed the problems of Job, or restored his losses when he prayed for his friends. So, if you want to see God working for us, we need to pray for others. So, pray for others. Have a concern, genuine concern. Don't think that if we pray 1 hour for somebody else, God is going to do some miracle for us. That's not a good thing. You cannot tempt God. But if we genuinely, sincerely pray for others, we see that God is going to work mighty things in our life. So we have seen 6 things. And the remaining things we shall see in our next class, I think. One more class we will have to take for this topic, that is lessons from Paul's prayer life. We have seen 6 things very quickly once again. His prayer life began soon after conversion. He prayed everywhere at any occasion. He had a planned prayer life. He was persistent in his prayers and specific also in his prayers. And his emphasis in prayer was intercession. He prayed for others. Let us examine our prayer life. No doubt, we need to pray more. See, we are living in such an age. Many God's servants, God's people here and there, they say, this is time to pray. Not only individually or family, and as an assembly, and as a group of assemblies, God's people everywhere should come together and pray. You know, we should know what is taking place in India, Asia, all over the world. What is happening? And as unpredictable things are taking place. When you think about the whole world situation, The story or the condition of each and every country is changing in such a dramatic manner. Of course, God is on the throne, no doubt about it. And this is time to pray that God may fulfill his purposes. And this is time to understand more about our responsibility in relation to our prayer life. And as we study the life of Paul in connection with his prayer life, pray that God may really change our idea about prayer life and help us to pray more and help us to pray as we ought to pray. And as a result, God may work in our life and the lives of God's people, and may the Lord's name be glorified.